You fear the same things in the autumn wind, when dry colors burn, the skeletons dance beneath the dark skyline. Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love, love, love? Is it love you're looking for? In the thunder clouds, mountains of rain to fall, in the twisting wind, you hear the name that's called. You hear the same thing. You hear the same thing. Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love, love, love? Is it love you're looking for? In a child's eyes, in every lover's voice, in a baby's cry, we really got no choice. We really got no choice. Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love, love, love? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love, love, love? Is it love you're looking for? It's in my child's eyes.
Is it love?
It's in my mother's voice.
Is it love, love?
And when love, I take your hand,
is it love?
We've really got no choice.
Is it love? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love you're looking for? Is it love, love, love? Is it love you're looking for? Love you're looking for?
All right, everybody, I am starting the show 5 minutes late. I apologize for that. You're listening to Man vs. Mob Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Clerkin, and it is 7:05 and 53 seconds. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio you're listening to. And I couldn't get the Facebook live stream to work. So if you're trying to watch on Facebook,
to the newer methods. Instagram is where it's at.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're not even going to hear this because you're probably not listening to the radio stream, but I apologize for that, and I'll fix that next week. My webcam isn't connecting, but I have this fancy new device that is holding at a high angle the stream, and I can't really see what those questions are or comments,
I'm not seeing any questions yet.
Oh, are you on the same stream?
Okay. I am on the same stream, but they may not display the comments on my screen. But it looks like Katie and Angela Sergliano joined.
Right on. I like this. Well, I'm not fancy enough to know that you can see on your phone over there exactly what mine is. So anyway, my in-studio guest tonight is Ryan. He's been on about I think this is sixth time now.
Sixth time.
Right on. And Ben abandoned us tonight, so.
Ben did abandon
screw him.
Us. Apparently he had his Wi-Fi to set up, so. I don't know why I couldn't take a break.
He abandoned this to set up his Wi-Fi.
That absurd.
Yep.
I'm no chance to begin it. He'll never become famous. It's his loss.
Well, did he ever have the chance to begin with? Probably not. Let's be honest.
No chance at home.
No chance. He's dead to us. Dead to us. Okay, so you were talking earlier in the day about some act. Was it the Smart Act or something like that?
Yeah, the Smart Act.
What is that?
Well, I didn't realize you wanted to talk about it.
Let's just jump right into it.
So the Smart Act, I don't know what the acronym stands for. It's a social media act that Congress is trying to pass or... is trying to pass Social Media Addiction Reduction Technology Act, and they're trying to place limits on how social media companies, the techniques that they're able to use with their audiences to mm-hmm. limit the amount of screen time that people are having, or to inform their users, their customers, about how much time that they're using on social media.
Oh, so yeah. So isn't there a piece in the, or a little feature in the Apple
iPhone? So Apple does that. And I think they did that more of a, cause they kind of, they knew that there could be a slippery slope and that it, there's an ethic thing involved as to whether or not they want people getting mad at Apple because mm-hmm. of screen time situations and how much you're using your app. So they're just trying to, you know, they're informing their customers, hey, here's this information, but you can just ignore it. Okay. It doesn't really stop you from using your apps. This act would require the internet social media companies to literally stop displaying information. Like you wouldn't be able to infinitely scroll on, like, let's say Facebook, or you wouldn't be able to use Facebook for more than 30 minutes without there being a notification and you having to go in and like disable it.
Interesting.
Within Facebook. And if you wanted to completely opt, and this is for all ages, by the way, this is not like by age, which is the really weird part for me. And then the other thing on top of that is you can once a month, you can go in and say, I don't want to receive any of these notifications. Like, I want an unlimited scroll and unlimited stream.
Yep.
But every month, it resets. So the law would require that the internet, but the social media companies would re-trigger the warning that you essentially get.
I think this is conceived of in a way that is, it has the right intention, the right motive, but I think people are going to just disable it continuously or click it like the iTunes user agreement or whatever. You know, people are just going to ignore it.
For me, I was just like, I don't think it's appropriate for the federal government to be regulating, you know, individual people's screen time. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the role of the parent.
Yeah.
And adults, for that matter, should be able to control their own habits. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm with you there.
It's up for debate, obviously. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a nanny state thing.
Yes.
So I see where you're coming from. And I don't know if I'm thinking of myself.
And I'd be able to tell you more about it if you had told me for sure that.
Oh, well, I wasn't trying to get you to convey all the data and go.
I would have given you the pros and the cons, like those who are for it and those who are against it, had I known. But that's all right.
We could have live streamed some charts and figures
exactly,
and things like that.
Exactly. Maybe got some congressmen in here.
Yeah, but if we did that, we'd have to have equal airtime, I think, for all of them.
I don't know. Is that still a law? I don't even think that's
I think
a
it
law.
Is. I think it's equal airtime. Oh, by the way, I always forget to mention this. The number, the call-in number, because Man B Mob Radio is contingent upon your participation, listeners and viewers now, is the in-studio line is 855-915-9636. Once again, 855-915-9636. Maybe from now on I can just put that in the live stream or like have a little sign hanging somewhere in the live stream.
Good work.
Anyway, okay, so, Somerville might have a dispensary soon, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, I saw that you had posted on your story earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Stories getting so fancy?
About Medford, they are. You learned, I was like, oh, there's a little like text even popped up with like a circle when you go look at the V Vendetta, that mask.
It's like watching a child learning how to play with toys for the first time.
Guy Fox mask, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Guy Fox. Yeah. Yes, but you're doing a good job. You're definitely getting better.
Thank you.
In my opinion. So
probably a little bit too long, the videos, but.
But I mean, you know, people can tap through them if they don't want to see all of it. And so it's not like, again, you have the option to kind of scroll through it.
The continuity is going to be ruined if you're tapping around in my videos.
That's true.
Just letting you know, people, you're going to miss important information.
Yes.
So every piece of information in my videos is essential.
all 20 minutes every day.
Exactly.
But you said there might be a dispensary in Medford soon. Are you thinking of opening up a dispensary or something? Or?
I'm not thinking of opening up a dispensary, but a while back I was just on this kick where I was signing up for different events, not just related to cannabis and that area, but for a bunch of different things. I was using, was it called like Eventbrite and Meetup and all these other things just to kind of add some networking to my to my schedule and areas that I found interesting. And this was a training that was originally supposed to be in like the Worcester area, I think, for people who are interested in potentially getting involved in starting a dispensary. And it got switched to an online class that's this Saturday, and it looks like it's pretty comprehensive. So I was reading through the book earlier.
Oh, nice. So it's like an investment opportunity, or is there actually, who provides the seminars? Is it the state of Massachusetts?
I believe it was the state of Massachusetts. Oh, you do get a certificate at the end that allows you to, it's you can, if you're trying to submit your resume to a dispensary, you can say, hey, I took this class and yeah. So that wasn't my original intent, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I don't know where the hell they would put that. Probably in, like, what do you think? Assembly Row or something like that?
There could be a lot of places that they could put it. Assembly Row would be a good spot, but then there might be people, you know, Assembly Row may not want it. They may not want aromas of marijuana in the air, but who knows? I guess it would be something that goes to town hall, right?
Yeah.
Talk about it there. Do you think that we need more of them in the area? Where's the closest one right now? Is it Brookline? Netta?
I think it's Netta and Brookline. And, and that place is, I think I told you about it. It's basically like being at the, what is it, the TSA at the airport?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just rope lines back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's about, I was counting, 40 security cameras, every possible angle.
Maybe the fact about that there are lines, though, is a good indication that we do need more. Can't really keep up with demand. Maybe.
That's a stretch. I think it's just because of the way that they have it. It's so highly upfront regulated that you have backups of people. and I have heard that a lot of people are just, because it's expensive and it used to be more convenient to just go to the local dealer at the corner. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are just kind of reverting back to that. I don't know how true it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people who were regular users probably didn't really find an appeal in driving down to Netta, this bougie neighborhood, waiting in airport security lines.
It is tough. There's not a lot of parking. If it were an assembly, there'd be more parking options. That would make it nice.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, I know you're in the gig economy now. Would you consider working at one of the dispensaries?
Yeah, I would. I think that would be fairly interesting, pretty cool. It depends how much discretion I was allowed. You know, like I would love to be able to, they're talking about how, particularly with medical, you can't give any medical related advice. You can try to give people general pairings with what their, you know, condition is and what their pain is or what they're looking for, but you can't really diagnose or try to do anything like that. But I would think it would be pretty satisfying to try to, you know, match people up and help people in that way.
It'd be rewarding for sure. Yeah. That's cool.
And, you know, some pretty hip people, fun people, I would imagine, working in a dispensary. So, yeah, we'll see.
Perhaps some unmotivated people as well, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And they say right in the, there was a section of this in the notebook that was saying that if you witness somebody stealing or anything like that, that, and particularly if you're caught on their, one of their 40 cameras and you don't do anything, you're going to lose your job as well as the person who stole, obviously. And they're describing all the security required in transport. It's crazy.
Do they use like Brink cars or Brink trucks? Like I would imagine.
Basically like that. And it's like you're supposed to change your route every time. Mm-hmm. So you're never doing the same route. It's really
It's literally
intense.
like money with the Brinks trucks and stuff.
Yep.
That's funny.
So you do see how the business moving into these things that people do for fun kind of can suck the fun out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like once alcohol probably went through that same process, it was, I would imagine it was the same thing.
I think it's I think with time it'll become more relaxed. Because I think they were just, the state of Massachusetts is like, we're doing this, you know, if we're going to do it, we need to do it right. We don't want to get people upset.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, rather have too many regulations at first than too little. See how it plays out. And if we, like, once we prove the concept and that it can work and that it's working in neighborhoods and it's not increasing crime or it's not causing a bunch of problems, then maybe we can kind of cut back some of the regulation, which would entail make it cheaper as well. So there wouldn't be that that need necessarily to to go to the corner guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping you're right about that. I see it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So remember, people listening, six plants if you live in Massachusetts. Six plants per adult in a household, up to 12 plants. If you have more than two adults living in a household, you can't have more than 12 plants.
The crazy thing is, like, who's, nobody's enforcing that. Like, you'd have to have, like, the police come by just, like, for something else.
Oh, yeah, and do a raid or something like that, yeah.
I don't even know if they'd come by. If you said, oh, my neighbor has 18 plants, I don't think they'd care.
Yeah.
Honestly. It seems low level. Maybe if you were, like, distributing it, like, on, like, if you were essentially becoming a drug dealer, they might care.
Yeah, I think it would only be an in for a bigger crime. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody is driving 5 miles over the speed limit, I think generally no cop's going to care about that. But if that person happens to be doing something else, that could be their foot in the door as to getting that person.
Sure. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm generally not an awards ceremony person, but so you saw Joker, right?
I did see The Joker.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was a really good movie. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, he is definitely a weirdo in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and if he was truly acting the whole time and he was a totally normal guy and everything we saw there was acting, I would be like, yeah, totally blown away.
Yeah.
But for me, I've seen interviews with Joaquin Phoenix, and he's literally a total weirdo.
Yeah.
He has the strangest upbringing. He was like living in vans with his parents.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Like, his brother died.
Yeah, his brother died at one point. But like, they were like doing weird stuff. I think they may have been a part of like a cult at some point or some like commune type of thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
So he wasn't acting, in your opinion.
There's some acting, but I think that he, like, deep down is just a weird dude. And like, he's just gone through some tough times in life, and I think just who he is today is just the resulting effect of all of those, his past.
That's a good point.
And yes, I do think that he was acting a little bit, but I think a lot of it was like natural to him. It's like how he kind of naturally is.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
That was my perspective on it. My roommates, you know, Mark loved it. I'm not into the whole Batman universe, right? It's like, this is like a pre.
Yeah, but it's like it's like half related. It's not
okay.
It's kind of a reimagining.
Yeah, and then I got to the end of it, and I'm not going to ruin it for anybody that saw it, but I didn't think it was all that. Like, what ended up happening in the end was not necessarily unpredictable. Because there was some,
like, a Shutter Island type.
Yeah, you know? Shutter Island, I think, was actually more of a mind F than this was, mind trip than this movie. But I mean, I don't want to say any more than that, but some of it was predictable. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to have to go back and watch Shutter Island and also Inception, because I'm curious if that movie actually stands the test of time or if I would appreciate it more or less. Because sometimes I had, seeing some of these more complex movies the first time, I had sort of this visceral response of like, this is dumb. And I didn't really get, obviously, a lot of what was going on. And then I, like, with Interstellar, went back, watched it, loved it. First time I saw it, I was like, eh. Interstellar, loved it. So I think if I went back and watched Inception, I might appreciate it a little bit more. Shutter Island too, but with Leonardo DiCaprio, because he was in both of those.
Right.
Did you also see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I have not seen that one.
Tarantino movie.
That was also one I wanted to see. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's worth seeing. Would say that, I guess, Brad Pitt won an award for it. I don't think that was deserving, but whatever. So that's it for award shows.
The movies that I think we did see, Jojo Rabbit. I think we both saw that one. And I really enjoyed that one. That was a good movie.
That must have
cheered me up a little. I don't know if you had a little tears coming, but I thought it was sad. I think it was more like the innocence of children.
I might have pushed them back in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. I wasn't crying either. Too tough. I never cry in movies.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit was awesome. I think it won for director, maybe, or something like that. It did win an award.
We got here. We say, I think it's Angela Sirigliano. I love Joker 2, and I agree with you, Ryan, about Joaquin Phoenix.
And oh, then, it's just weird in real life. Yeah. Not deserving an award.
And then Angela also said, I saw that one too, but I'm not sure which, if she's talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or...
Yeah. Maybe she'll clarify. They're all good movies. It's just like some of these movies are, I wouldn't say are award worthy. Like, I laughed my ass off at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, particularly Brad Pitt's character, but I was like, I would never say he needs an award for this. But anyway, 1917 and Jojo Rabbit, I think, were both deserving.
Now, 1917, I thought they gave way too much of the storyline away in the trailer, because one of the scenes that I was waiting for, so one, I didn't know that the brother was going to die so soon. But then once that happened,
you're supposed to say spoiler alert if you really reveal a major plot.
That's a valid point. But it's too late. The award shows have come out. The awards have come out. So anyway, I wasn't aware that was going to happen. And once it did happen, it was like very obvious that there's no story unless mission's accomplished. And then there's just something with like the bombings when they were like running through. It looked like white sand or something.
Oh yeah.
And there were bombs coming down. That I was waiting for that scene the whole time. So I don't know. There were just like big scenes that were the only big scenes of the movie, really. And they were already in the trailer. So I think they could have cut out some of the scenes in the trailer.
Oh yeah, I mean this is the nature of trailers in general, is that they spoil way too much of the movie.
Well, I feel like sometimes they put scenes in the trailer that didn't end up making in the final version of the movie.
That's true.
Which I think is a good move, because then you get a little bit of a gist of the plot, but you don't. Nothing's really spoiled in the end because it's not even in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, trailers have gotten to be like 3 or 4 minutes long, and they take like all the best action suspense scenes in the entire thing.
Angela Strigliano was saying that she saw that one too. She was referring to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then she also said that she watched Parasite.
So that's the Korean one. Yeah.
So that one had subtitles the whole time. I haven't seen it yet, but people in my office had saw it and they said it was really good. So I really do need to see it.
It seems like it would be chilling.
I don't even know what it's about, honestly. But don't tell me, because
coronavirus.
Apropos.
Yeah.
Good timing on that. The release.
I bet I would enjoy it. I have to get myself ready for movies with subtitles. I can't just jump into that. You know, it's like I have to be in a reading state of mind.
Yeah.
I like to read, but...
Well, the problem is if I'm reading the subtitles, I'm not necessarily looking at what's going on in the screen.
Yeah.
So I hope that there's not like too much action back and forth between shots, because I don't want to miss anything.
Probably not. It looked like kind of a... slow. Low action movie.
Gotcha.
Like suspenseful, but low action.
Okay.
Yeah, my eyes darting up and down on the screen. I don't like that either.
Yeah. But, totally agree.
Okay, so let's...
She said, Angela Strigliano, one more comment. It was chilling.
There we go.
Regarding Parasite.
There we go. Okay. Chilling. Yeah. I could go for a chilling movie. I mean, horror stuff these days is terrible. So.
Is that what it's considered, a horror or a thriller?
I think it's like thriller, probably. Okay. Probably thriller. Okay, so I mentioned coronavirus before, and I was curious if you'd heard about this. Apparently, in the city Wuhan, where it originated, there is a biologics lab that works on viruses. Did you know that?
I kind of think that there was one of those in every major city, though. But maybe there is.
Yeah.
Do you think it originated?
I don't know if there
is. Is this a conspiracy theory? Well, it's actually fair.
It's not a conspiracy theory because it's the truth. It's there.
Well, it's there, but are you implying that it may have originated in the lab?
Of course, and gotten out. Or
intentionally?
I don't know.
Because malicious?
I don't know. It could have been. But
I don't like it. I was about to say conspiracy theory, though, in China. I mean, that's everything, because the government does keep things under wraps and trust it. So
you and I, we both saw Chernobyl when it was on, remember? And remember how the HBO show. Remember how far the Soviet Union went to keep that under wraps?
Right.
And then we only found out after the fact how intense it actually was.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's happening right now in China with whatever they're doing.
They're having a hard time. Information's trickling out. So they're like, I think just the other day, the count on number of people infected increased dramatically. And China was claiming, well, it's because we changed technically what the definition of the virus was. So people that had symptoms who weren't included in being diagnosed were now being diagnosed because they had changed the definition.
Yeah.
Which is probably true. I think that does happen in the medical community, but it also seemed a little sketchy. Like, I think it was just like there were reports the day before of how it was way higher, that there was really, there were more deaths and more people infected than the government was letting on. And then the next day it's like they have to come out with something. And
man, China, come on, man. Like, I know our own government is sketchy too. I'm not trying to say our own government isn't, but at the same time, like, totalitarian regime, yeah, there's orders of magnitude of sketchiness in China, way up there. Mm-hmm. Come on. Nothing against the Chinese people. I've met very many Chinese people that I like very much. But the Chinese government, do not trust it.
Well, apparently there was a doctor in Wuhan, or I don't know if Wuhan's the name of the city or the region in China. But anyway, in either case, there's the doctor that originally discovered that there was a virus going around. He was having patients. Mm-hmm. He had started texting family members saying, hey, just be careful, blah, 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 or I'm seeing a lot of this, like, stay away from this area in town. And those people took screenshots of the text and then sent it to other people. And he wasn't intending that for that to happen. But in China, if you cause a public scare or something, the government will come knocking on your door and you can get in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So it was too late for him. Like, people started screenshotting it and sending over the text. And then it was just like this viral effect that happened amongst everybody's phones. Yeah. And he got in trouble. And then I think the doctor ended up contracting coronavirus, and I think he literally just passed away like last week from coronavirus, which then I was like, okay, this is super weird, because did the Chinese give him the virus, or did they kill him because of what he did and they didn't want him to say anything else about China tried to contain it and not release the information to the public and to the world? If China was just like, okay, we need to like take him out, did they intentionally give him the virus, or did they kill him with something else? And you just don't know. You can't, like, once you know a government is trying to cover up a story, especially when it has to do with like the public health, you don't know, they could be capable of anything at that point.
Man, I'm gonna stop it there, because I think we could go down the rabbit hole with it, and we'll wait for more information.
Maybe Xi Jinping, listening, call in.
Exactly. Yeah. Something tells me that Xi Jinping is probably listening to Man v. Mob.
Or watching Winnie the Pooh. It's one of his favorite shows.
Oh, man. For those of you who don't get the reference, Xi Jinping got really upset that people, Chinese students, I believe, were comparing his likeness to the American cartoon character Winnie the Pooh. And he is rather Pooh-like, I would say. Like, hold up. I am getting a call on the phone. I'm going to try to answer this, and I haven't done this in a while. So
Angela Sergliano also provided one more comment. She said she didn't like the subtitles.
Caller, can you hear me?
In Parasite.
Hey, how's it going? Where are you calling from, and what's your name? All right, Katie. So just give me a briefing on your question, and then I'll put you on air and you can ask it. Okay, well, you know what? Don't even ask it. I'll just put you right on.
Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Excellent. Would you please ask your question, Katie from South Boston?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no problem. I have a riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two riddles, and one, I'm just curious if either one of them or both of them.
Okay.
The first riddle, you own two shoe factories. You're having a problem with employees stealing pairs of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
How can you easily stop them without having to hire a whole new staff?
Oh, man. Riddles are not my thing. Cut off their feet.
No.
Could you make different pairs of shoes at each of the factories?
Oh, excellent job, Ryan.
All right. Well, you gave an answer that was a little bit less disturbing than mine.
Wouldn't that only narrow it down to one factory, though?
No, you make a different, like, you make all the left shoes at one factory, and you make all the right shoes at the other factory. That way no one can steal.
Oh, that's not what I was saying. But
Ryan, you're never supposed to admit that.
I stumbled upon the correct answer. But then my only question would be the logistics of getting the shoes together. Because then there would be employees responsible for putting the left and the right shoe together in one box.
You're overthinking it. Overthinking.
I don't like the riddle.
All right. I got one more riddle.
It was a good riddle. All right. What's the other one?
Okay. I'm thinking of a number higher than 10, but lower than 14. You can ask only one question, to which I can answer yes, no, or I don't know. From this answer, you must be able to, with 100% certainty, guess the number I am thinking of. What question do you ask?
Oh, man, I'm never going to be able to think about that quickly. but greater than 10, less than 14, one question, and then you have to guess with 100% certainty.
I have to think about it. It'd be too much dead air time on the radio.
Well, I can call in at the end if you want the answer at the end.
Yeah, I don't think I could even come up with a clever question to ask.
Well, do you want the answer?
No, I want to think about it.
No.
You're going to be thinking about that.
Well, I'm
just
going to
be silent for the rest of the show
after the
thinking
program,
about it?
After the program, I'll mull it over in my head. Uh-huh. And I'm sure she got this online. Katie, where did you get this riddle? Did you make it up or did you find it online?
No, I got it on Reddit.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure I'll be able to find the answer if I really can't get it.
No, you can't look it up.
Well, no, I'm saying I want to try to get it first. You know, I want to try to figure it out and then...
Okay.
And then...
You can post the answer on your comments on your Instagram post.
Yes, I absolutely will do that. All right. Thank you for the riddles. I clearly am not cut out for riddles, particularly live on the air, but I admire Ryan's persistence.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Katie.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Bye.
I have a question for you, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask questions on the radio, can they hear it? Is it being broadcast in the studio right now? I don't know if it was...
That was...
Or just through our headphones.
Supposed to be broadcast, maybe not in the studio, because I think that in the studio you can only hear the music I'm playing music.
Gotcha.
If I turn the RD station... Oh, I'm getting another call, so... Is that going to flash again? No, it's not. Okay, so yeah, basically you can hear in the studio if I'm playing music, but I don't think anything coming off of the mics or the phone calls can be heard in the studio, but it should be out on the air.
It should be on the air. Yeah. So the only people that wouldn't get it then are the people streaming live.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we just got to ask this guy to repeat it out loud.
Okay, yeah.
Good workaround.
Yeah. Sorry, people on the stream. I don't know if you even heard... What were the riddles? One of them was if you're in a shoe factory and there were people... Like, if you owned a shoe factory, employees stealing sneakers, how do you prevent them from stealing sneakers? Right?
Yep. Two, you own two factories. They're stealing sneakers. How do you stop the employees from stealing sneakers?
Oh, that was in the riddle in the beginning, is you own two factories?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Well... My solution was to cut off their feet, which is...
They're all peg legs. And we don't make peg leg shoes, so... Yeah, out of luck. And then...
Business idea is now the Shark Tank.
And the other riddle was, I'm thinking of a number, but no lower than 10 and no higher than 14. You're allowed to ask me one question, and then...
And then after that question, you have to guess the number with 100% certainty.
Yeah. Something like that.
So there you go, people. Oh, well, I'm also just realizing that I'm not in the stream window at all. So
I'm thinking of a number higher than 10 but lower than 14. You can ask only one question to which I can answer yes or yes, no, or I don't know. From this answer, you must be able to, with 100% certainty, guess the number I am thinking of. Oh, I think I know what you ask. Not even looking at the answer. You say,
I'm trying to get this.
No higher, higher than 10. If it's higher than 10 but lower than 14, then the only options are 11, 12, and 13. So you say yes for 11, say no for 12, or say I don't know for 13.
I heard some of that, and I was just trying to get the streaming window to work. But I'm sure that the streaming people were distracted by my readjusting. So... Don't get too caught up in trying to figure that out for the remaining 25 minutes.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That was my only answer.
Yeah, riddles, not my thing. I guess that means I'm dumb, but you know.
No, I think you know when you're on air, it's just not a good thing for on air, unless it's like a riddle show.
We could have a riddle show. I don't think it would be very popular, but we could have a riddle show. And we just play chess and answer riddles. Okay, so. I was curious. I always like to bring this to the table. Do you have any funny stories from like the craziest stuff that you've ever seen or stuff that comes to mind from like craziest bar story or craziest
I think I heard
school story
told
or something
the craziest
like that.
Bar story
yeah.
that I was there for. You probably have some good stories, I would think, with your gig economy stuff that you've been doing as a bouncer.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see some very persistent people get kicked out. And recently, I witnessed a guy who was just... He was hanging around outside after he had gotten kicked out, and he was just giving lip to the other bouncers.
I feel like I've been there before.
And yeah, you've...
You know, sometimes...
Probably been there.
Sometimes you just, after a little booze, you know,
yep.
You just not thinking straight.
And so he was there for like probably 15, 20 minutes, just kind of henpecking. And then his last line was, well... I'm already on the curb. You can't kick me out any further, which was a mistake to say that, because immediately he just gets bulldozed across the street by two bouncers and continues to get bulldozed down the sidewalk. He didn't get beat up. He just got like, and this dude was just like so shocked that, and this is what I think you see this all the time. If you're paying attention is like very preppy people at bars. Don't think that they could get, get hurt at all, right? They think that they're like untouchable, and then they piss off these bouncers who are literally like basically in general want nothing more than to take out their annoyance on people with the right provocation. So
it's a tough job too, because they're just trying to keep the bar safe and they don't want anybody hurting themselves too.
Yeah.
Getting too drunk, too inebriated, and stumbling over and hurting themselves or hurting somebody else. So, yeah, it's a tough job. You got to deal with, like, and nobody wants to get hit. I mean, I'm sure some bouncers might look for a fight. Maybe they're in for it because they do like the opportunity to be aggressive with somebody and manhandle them. But, you know, you're just trying to keep peace and order.
Yeah. I like that for the most part.
For the most part.
with a little bit of chaos involved. Yes.
Some people like chaos. Some people like thrive in it.
Well, yeah, I have definitely noticed that. I'm not one of those people. I think I can adapt a little bit. I don't like causing chaos, but so I would say worse than the aggressive people, the people getting in fights, the people who throw up all over the place.
Oh, in a bar. I've fortunately never done that before, but that vomit with alcohol... For some reason, just sounds, it smells so much worse than like, maybe it's just because it's in the confines, it's got nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. Like bars are, they're really warm,
which
I think helps for some reason diffuse smells, or maybe your sense of smell is just heightened in warmer air. And then bars are generally tight and compact. People are starting to step in it, and then they're transferring it through the bar. So then like, you just can't escape the smell.
Yeah, it's bad. And then I think I told you about the time that the young woman outside of the bathroom was kind of just leaned over on the table. She leans forward, throws up on the table, puts her face in it, and like her hair gets in it, and then she proceeds to slide under the table, and her friend just tries to like pull her out from underneath by the arm. And like, this was all like very entertaining and concerning at the same time. Like, I could see that this girl who had gotten sick was like still all right, but
what do you do in like that
the stuff
instance?
That you see? I mean,
like, do you help them clean her off? Like, do you get a wet paper towel for her?
No, I basically just let them. I mean, like, I helped her get, she was basically trying to pull her friend out from a narrow gap under the table. So I made sure that she wasn't going to like pull her friend's arm off. And then I just let her take her friend into the bathroom. Yeah. I didn't, but
that's
I mean,
nice.
I've had to do, went back in college. I had to do some pretty nasty stuff at the fraternity where it was cleaning up with people. And actually one of the best tips that I picked up was, if someone is way too inebriated, you put a backpack, you put them on the couch and then you put a backpack on them so they can't roll over. And because if they throw up and then they...
Wait, but aren't they inclined... Oh, on their stomach?
Yeah, you put them on their stomach, then you put a backpack on them so they can't roll over.
So that was the other way. I was like, it's a good way to kill them.
Important detail,
put the backpack on correctly.
Exactly.
Well, incorrectly. Wear it on the front.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that too. I would say that in general, bar stories are from the side of the people who work there are pretty unglamorous. But, the amount of glass that gets broken, it's kind of alarming that...
You know, that's one of the reasons I got kicked out from a bar one time was because somebody came out of the bathroom that wasn't even a part of my party and dropped and broke a glass. And the bouncer comes over to the table that I was sitting at, starts yelling at me and my friends and I.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you were there for that, but...
I don't think I was.
I was like, what? It's like, first off, we're at a bar. Like, glasses are going to break. Mm-hmm. And second off, we didn't break a glass. Like, you obviously didn't witness it because nobody at this table broke a glass. Mm-hmm. Like, that was somebody coming out of the bathroom. And then, you know, you try to reason.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to be submissive when the bouncer says stuff like that and be like, oh, so sorry, so sorry.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. Not make them feel stupid.
Yeah.
I learned.
Pretty much. So, yeah, I would say that it's much more entertaining when you don't have to. It's the same thing where when people host parties, I found that to be very unrewarding.
Yeah.
When you go to other people's parties, particularly if you're generally respectful, have a great time, you can unwind. But when you're the one hosting it, it's like, oh, you got to think about all the stuff that gets stolen and broken and all the logistics and everything. And it's the same thing when you work at the bar versus when you're like at the bar, you know,
it's true. It's true. It's fun to throw a party because you want everybody to have a good time, but it's harder for you yourself to have a good time if you have to be the parent. Or if you like rent, especially if you rent and you don't own the property that you live in and you're having the party in, then it's like you have just a heightened sense of responsibility because you don't want to be responsible for it. You don't want to get evicted, you know.
Pretty much. And so you mentioned the bars and how freaking hot that they get and uncomfortable and stuff. That's my recollection of so many parties from college is just the same thing where it's like you go into a stifling room, your sneakers are sticking to the floor, and there's one central table with people playing some ping pong ball based game, whatever it is, and everybody else is just kind of on the perimeters.
A lot of body heat.
Yep. Oh, actually a furnace.
I'm
kind of glad that those days are behind. And do you have any funny memories of the St. Patrick's Day parades?
I think you brought like a bottle of whiskey or something one time.
I think you said that I drank that whole bottle of whiskey, which is, I don't think that's possible.
Well, you were swigging that thing and you were taking huge gulps.
I believe that, but I think I was sharing it too.
You probably were sharing it, but I'm just saying by the end of the day, it seemed like you'd made a huge dent in it.
Mm. Yeah, Southie, beautiful place, but that one day a year where people just decimate your property and your lawn, and you have this giant train of people that just completely obliterate the
what sucks
area.
If you want to go somewhere. You didn't realize it was, if you didn't realize it was the parade day or something, or, you know, I don't know, if you have a family and you just kind of lose track of it. Let's say you just moved to Southie, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're not even aware that a huge St. Patrick's Day comes through the neighborhood. Like, everything gets shut down, you know?
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
That's going to be pretty inconvenient for that one guy that doesn't know what goes on in Southie.
I felt bad being on Mission Hill when every Friday and Saturday night, you knew that there were still families with young kids studded among the front of, by the way, Mission Hill, for those of you who don't know, is kind of over near Longwood Medical District. It's where a lot of the Wentworth and Northeastern students live off campus. And so you have a ton of undergrad students and then still a bunch of families within that. And I feel bad for the families because every Friday, Saturday night, you have people pissing in their, you can just leave it for now, the headphones. But, you have people pissing on their lawn, throwing up on their trash can, breaking stuff, yelling, all that.
Yeah. But for the most part, I'd say Northeastern and the Wentworth kids are pretty good. Like, I think you'd rather have the small petty crime type of thing that they do rather than the real crime.
That's true.
The alternative real crime that you get on Mission Hill. Like the violent, like the break-ins.
Fair enough.
Muggings and stuff.
And the city is used to that kind of semi-frequent disorder where a college town like Amherst,
right?
That's somebody got really mad at me once for referring to UMass as Zoomass, and I was like, I didn't come up with that, all right? It's
devaluing my degree, bro.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said. I was like, well, I mean, I'm not devaluing your degree. Your peers are at your school. Take it up with them.
And I don't even think that's true. Like,
yeah.
like anybody with a brain is going to evaluate you based off of the program.
Yeah.
And UMass has a good business school and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's true.
Yeah.
You're too uptight.
That's with you. Yeah. I was like, all right, relax. Yeah. I thought it was a...
Clearly, they don't have good tempers at UMass either.
That was actually a fun school, though. I've only been there once. Were you one
Maybe
time
once
as well?
Or twice, yeah. We went to... I don't know. Where were we? Were we there for like a foam party at one point? And then we went
That was terrible.
Dorm party or house party?
That foam party. So it was... we had gone to...
What weekend was that? Was that...
That was like Halloween around then, I think. There was supposed to be... a party at UMass, and then we ended up going to the Barstool foam thing, and I was like, all right, well, we're going to return to this party, but I want to make sure that that I kind of keep tabs on Ryan and Ben, and then all the foam starts dumping down, and it's just impossible to find anybody anywhere. It's just a giant foam pit, so yeah. I don't know how I thought I would do that, but I regretted.
I know we went to the foam parties on the tail end after they had already been like awesome. Mm-hmm. It was like the summer before and stuff, and the school year before. That was when I feel like they peaked, and mm-hmm. then everybody had already done it at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we didn't. We're like, oh, let's go to UMass, go to one of those Barstool foam parties. Like, we got to do it. I feel like we were there a long weekend. It wasn't a long weekend.
I missed out. I was like the chaperone. But. It did look like a blast, I gotta say. And, I mean, is Barstool still doing those?
I don't know.
I remember it was a huge controversy.
I haven't heard
for a little
while.
It was the Blackout Tour and the...
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now Barstool is...
there were protesters.
They have way cooler parties now with, like, professional athletes and stuff. So I think that's where people want to get to.
Yeah. We never went to one of those, so...
Not yet. But when you make it big in this radio program and the podcasting world...
Well, we're gonna have to. We're gonna have to put Ben on that.
Mm. Yeah.
If Ben gets us into a party like that, then he redeems himself.
Okay.
So
he won't be able to hear this, so he doesn't have Wi-Fi right now.
Well, we'll tell him.
We'll tell him.
We'll tell him. We'll when we post the solution of the riddle on the stream, taking some mental notes here. We'll tell Ben get us into some parties. So I don't. Aside from that, I don't really actually...
I was thinking today, though, I think, like, everybody has that... I think almost everybody has a... If you go out, you have your go-to people for going out with.
Mm-hmm.
And my go-to people happen to have been close friends from home, like you and some mm-hmm. other people. And some other people may have, like, came in to sub in for other people, like... We've had a couple sub-ins and some temporary people that have gone out with us. But I feel like the core group was our hometown group.
Mm-hmm.
And now that everybody's growing up, you know, the crew is just changing. You know, people are getting girlfriends and they don't want to go out anymore. Not to name names. Total bummers.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen.
Well, obviously we have to be the weirdos, the guys who are in their late 20s that just go and hang out like Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn and Wedding Crashers, just showing up with start crashing weddings, start
those are the
hanging
fun
out
guys
at college
then.
Parties.
Those are the fun guys. Yes,
but they're like also the creepy guys too. Not the maybe the Wedding Crashers, but the dudes who like I made a point to really try not to be the dude that went back to his college and right. to like fraternity parties and stuff like that.
But at the same time,
sometimes people will be like, "Oh man, you should come." I'm like, "Yeah, no,
I'll go with you if you want." I wouldn't mind popping into a fraternity party.
Yeah, do one keg stand and then.
Do they have graduate school fraternity parties, or do they just have like charcuterie boards and cheese boards at that point? Like everyone's drinking wine.
That's not much of a party. That's
listening to
an adult thing.
Jazz.
Listening to Jason Mraz.
Doing a paint night. Yeah. Something like that.
Well, actually. Why don't we just show up at the next fraternity party with a charcuterie board? Be like, grow up, everybody.
I brought snacks, y'all.
Keg stands and charcuterie.
Yes. A little Pinot Grigio to pair with it.
If you poured it into a bag, I think that people would be able to identify
Slap
with
the
it.
Bag, yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in a Ziploc bag.
That was one of the more gross things that I had to participate in.
Because everybody's mouth is on it, I know.
Yeah. And it's garbage, too.
I don't...
It's $2 chuck.
It is garbage. It's garbage wine.
Franzia, right?
Yeah, and it's garbage, and it's not. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't think it'd be all that great to do, but I don't really remember anybody ever getting sick. I haven't heard any stories of people, like the whole party getting sick with something. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it can happen. I guess it's just not a good practice, but. I mean, you're in such close quarters with everybody. You would think if somebody's getting you sick, you're just getting sick.
That's true. And I did do a moose shot off of an antler with probably that had moose feces on it at once. Did I tell you about that? How like it was at there was an outdoor club, and they every fall kind of Columbus Day weekend would bring everybody out to their place on the Maine New Hampshire border. And there was one year where one of the people found a moose antler out in a field of probably moose crap and other stuff. And
they
so they brought it back.
Do they? It was like from a fight? Is like a
I think they do shed.
They
antlers.
Do shed.
You should ask Mike. Mike has a giant moose head in his living room right now.
Okay. Did he hunt it? Is that one?
Yeah.
He hunted? Nice.
Yep.
How much? Do you know how much he pays to like get those?
Oh, it's probably insane. Probably yeah. Probably like $2,000.
Yeah, that is insane. That's an expensive hobby to keep up with.
Yeah.
Killing animals and does he eat all the moose?
Oh yeah, he's got a fridge full of moose meat.
What do you do with the moose? Isn't a moose like 800 pounds though, or something absurd?
Oh yeah. I've had one of the moose burgers and a moose steak. It's kind of. I'm sure there are different ways of preparing it where it's better, but it was all right.
How much moose meat does a moose yield? I'm curious.
Is that another riddle? Moose, a lot. I mean, he's,
oh my God. A 600-pound moose would yield 300 to 350 pounds of meat.
Okay, well, what's that in a, what's a steak pound-wise? 2 pounds?
At most, I would say like a pound of steak is a pretty big steak.
Okay.
Let's see, 1 pound of steak. What does that look like?
There's a picture of a pound of steak. I guess that makes sense. But so yeah, I think that
like having a big chunk. Yeah, that's like a big
having a freezer full of moose
an
meat.
An 8 ounce steak is half. Wouldn't that be half of a pound? And that's like a typical Flamingo, like a 10 ounce Flamingo.
I'm terrible at those measurements. I think I skipped that portion of math when I was younger.
I'm assuming they're talking about the weight when they tell you, not the volume. So. And an ounce isn't even a volume, is
well,
it?
He got a lot of meat out of it. It's like,
always weight.
Like two freezers full of meat, basically. And he's got that giant taxidermy head, and it looks pretty good. I'm thinking of getting into low-key taxidermy on the side at the dispensary. I'll have a side room with where I'm like taking animals apart and making taxidermies.
Are you considered a serial killer? You're not considered like a killer. Is it weird if you kill animals for, like, for pleasure?
Yes, I think that is. Well, I mean, it's not considered as weird if you use the animal, if you just, like, let it be.
But see, that's the thing, is I don't necessarily want to use the animal. I think the sport of hunting it down. Like, that to me is the fun part.
That sounds like a serial killer.
Like, tracking it down and killing it, to me, is the hard part. Like, that is the skill right there. Like, chopping
but
it up.
But wouldn't you want to eat the meat and everything?
I mean, I'd be open to trying it. I don't know what moose tastes like, so it just isn't, it obviously is not going to be appealing to somebody, I guess, who doesn't know what it tastes like, but... Like, I'll tell you right now, if I were in the woods hunting a chicken, I don't think I'd want to rip it apart and cook it up. Fish, I guess.
Why would you be hunting a chicken in the woods?
Well, you wouldn't.
Just like a theoretical, like a pheasant. A pheasant, right?
Something something I eat in general.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, I eat chicken, but...
Well, a lot of modern hunting is like...
The food...
Not really hunting anyway. It's like they lead you out into... I mean, some people, they'll make their own... weapon and go out into the woods and track something for weeks, you know. That's probably hunting, but modern hunting is like, hey, we'll drop you off via helicopter with your high-tech
better
weapon,
yet,
which is
from the helicopter,
which is
snipe
still something I can't do. I'm not trying to demean it, but it's not like really hunting. The amount of overhead involved in hunting now, particularly if you go with like a hunting party and you go with an outfitter and all that. Yeah, it kind of takes the sport out of it. And then quail hunting, to me, seems... Any place where they stock it with animals, like they...
Yeah,
they have
it, populate the area that you're hunting in, yeah.
Seems, that's yeah.
But if you were, like, going into the woods, let's say it was, like, we're going to do a weekend camping outing, like, hunting trip. So we're going to go deep into the woods, and there's no guarantee we're going to find this animal that we're looking for, but we're going to try to kill it, and you got to, like... look at the ground and you're looking for tracks and maybe you're looking for you know, feces droppings or something like that. To me is like a man, what was that show called when you you had to go into the, you had 24 hours or something, and you were getting tracked by a professional tracker in the woods. And if you were able to evade them for 24 hours.
Yeah, then, I don't remember what that show was called, but I know what you're talking about.
I thought
that
was kind of a cool show, but
I would fail immediately.
That part of it is the cool part. Like, that's the sporty part to me, because it's like, it requires skill.
Sure.
And then, you know, setting up the shot and executing flawlessly, you know, killing the animal. The food, I guess, I don't know. I prepared a turkey for Thanksgiving, and I just haven't been the same since. It's like ruined turkey.
The giblets or whatever.
What was the smell of raw turkey? Just totally. I had no experience with the smell before, and it wasn't that bad, but it was a new smell for me. And now I just smell it at random times, and it just makes me think of raw turkey. And it's just, I wasn't into it. I definitely enjoyed the turkey less having prepared it.
So. Okay, I have a quick story, and as I convey that story, would you look at the PSA? Sure. Maybe a gun safety PSA or a hunting PSA? So I went Canada goose hunting with Mike a couple years back, and we had to basically bring the geese that we had shot back from New York to Mass in this giant cooler, like the full geese. And you could smell that in the car the entire way back. And then we had to breast them. And we decided, because we didn't have anywhere local to do that, to go to the fraternity house, take one of the tables from inside and bring it into the backyard. And there was like feathers everywhere, like drifting all over the place in the backyard. And it was kind of like late in the night. And some of the fraternity brothers came out. They're like, what the hell are you guys doing? And it's just like, we're there literally breasting geese in the backyard of the fraternity house in like a suburban neighborhood. it was like, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 geese or something like that. And so, yeah, that smell is pretty off-putting, I have to say. I think that we are sheltered from that, us meat eaters today.
And I like being sheltered. I like that we just go to a grocery store to a butcher, and that's where we get our meat. We don't have to do the dirty stuff. You know, they have their...
specialty.
Exactly. Trade specialization.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be pretty nasty. So, did you find one that you liked?
I found a PSA that I liked. Cool. So this is Why Not Cover Up Your Web Camera. It's short, but it pretty much says, if you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover the camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. Now, even if you do use it, I just think it's good practice to cover up the camera, because you don't know.
I do it.
I'm sure there are plenty of foreign actors covered that can get into your computer.
Thank you, Edward Snowden.
Yes. That's why we can stream on Facebook tonight.
Exactly. So, look, that's it for tonight. I wanted to thank you, Ryan, for coming back on. You'll be invited back on repeatedly, again and again and again. And I wanted to apologize to people who were trying to watch potentially on the Facebook live stream. I will have that up and running next time. But to the people on the Instagram stream, I wanted to thank you for watching. And I'll set it up a little bit better next time so that we have both of us in view. That's pretty much it. That's it for Man v. Mob Radio this week. I'm your host, Patrick Clerkin. And you can find Man v. Mob podcast on... let's see, Apple Podcast, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on manvmobpodcast.com. And those are all the places. So I will see you next week, every Monday from 7 to 8. Thanks, everybody.